You are listening to the Voice of the Arts, WQED-FM. I'm Jim Cunningham. With me, the Director of Education for the Society to Preserve the Max Ovanka Murals in Millvale, Becky Gogler, former WQED-FM musical kid. Hooray! And Rick Robinson, founder of Cut Time Productions, who's put together a terrific festival that's happening in Millvale in May. We'll talk about the festival second, because it's going to be starting around Friday, the 17th of May. So that's coming up. Hang on for that. But the Max Ovanka Block Party is Sunday, April 28th. You're starting at noon. And the Cut Time Symphonica will be there. Rick Robinson, former member of the Detroit Symphony, who has founded the Cut Time organization. We already have a nice conversation with you and Anna Singer about your work. Rick, it's so great to have you in town these last couple of years. Thanks for coming by to talk about these two wonderful things. Becky, we're going to start with you and the Max Ovanka mural. What is the block party all about?
Yeah, so this is our second year hosting a block party. And basically, it's a free community day, sort of open house for people who have not been to the murals of Max Ovanka in the historic St. Nicholas Croatian Church up in Millvale. This is a chance to come in and see the murals, hear a little bit about them, talk to some of our conservators who've been doing the preservation work. It's also a chance to make some art, have some time to dance outside the DJs, but also inside the sanctuary, we have both Rick's group, Cut Time, playing, and also Jennifer Barron from Garment District is going to be spinning some of her family's Croatian traditional tambritzen records. So we have sort of a combination of music that's happening at the murals.
Now, we should say there are still some people who have not seen the murals by Max Ovanka. This is the name of the artist who came here and painted these magnificent murals on the ceiling of the church in Millvale. It's very easy to get to from Route 28. Just use your GPS and you'll find it. The church is beautiful, but the murals are an amazing worldwide treasure. And the group, the church, combined ensemble of people who have worked so hard to preserve them and raise the money to keep them and improve their visibility over many, many years now. It's an extraordinary community effort.
Yeah, we are a nonprofit that is separate from the church, but it is still an active church. So we work closely with them. But as a nonprofit, you're right, raising the money to save and share. And so we have a team of conservators who are working on that preservation of the murals themselves. And I like to say that as a director of education, I'm doing the work to preserve and share the stories, both of the artist, of the community that built the church, and also now people's own reactions to those murals. So we work with a lot of people of all ages. Kids come, you know, seniors come, everybody in between.
Well, Becky, we'll return to Max Ovanka in just a moment, but I want to ask Rick about the Cut Time Symphonica, the string quartet at 2 o'clock. What are you going to play, and what's Cut Time all about in case somebody hasn't yet experienced your work?
Well, thanks very much, Jim. Well, while I was a member of Detroit Symphony Orchestra, I really wanted to share classical music, especially symphonic music, in places and ways where orchestras couldn't fit or go. So I started arranging or reducing symphonic stuff for first a mixed octet and then a string group, as well as devising a number of compositions that blends some urban pop with neo-romanticism to form a smooth on-ramp into classical music. So I started taking that into bars and clubs as part of the classical revolution movement back during when DSO was on strike in 2010, and I just never went back. I pretty much quit the orchestra the next year, hoping to find an agent and do more of this and win grants as we did with the Knight Foundation project. But we have so many short works that, you know, a lot of them are dances, and then some of them are, you know, profound songs are dramatic, and we get to introduce classical music in new ways by comparing it to food and, you know, sailing and things that I also enjoy, and beer drinking, of course. But we're going to do everything from, you know, some of Bach's Third Suite to some Mozart Divertimentos, you know, very dancey type of things, to some Jenkins Palladio and And then a lot of slow tunes that kind of enhance the murals and what Vanka might have been trying to say. So such as the Giozzodo Albinoni Adagio and Nimrod from Elgar's Enigma Variations, just to name a couple.
And you will play the bass.
I will play the bass, kind of like a cello sometimes, other times like a bass. So once I started playing chamber music, I said, you know what? I could do all of this.
Tell me about your colleagues that'll be working with you.
Okay, well, everyone, I think, knows the fantastic artistry of Marin Colon Gutierrez on first violin. Then we have Andrew Giordano, Gio as he's known, on second violin. He's a performer in the Bayo String Quartet, so very, very experienced. And then Stephen Weiss on viola, who plays with the Bastard Bearded Irishman. So he's no stranger to the club scene, and we make it very lively. We'll be standing as well. And normally in clubs, we would bring a drummer, but I think with these acoustics, it's a little too live to have drums. So it's just the quartet.
Have you picked a spot where you'll stand?
Well, we'll be on the altar space, so we'll move that table back. And
how will the Cut Time Symphonica appear as part of all the events that you're having at the block party?
That's a wonderful question, because I think thinking about it as different forms of art, right? You're coming to see the murals as a dramatic art form, as Rick loves using that word, dramatic, it's true. And I think having different ways of listening to music, different types of music, and different activities that you can do. So in the sanctuary where the murals are on every wall, the ceiling, there'll be docents and conservators to answer questions. But then you could also sit and just listen, or you could dance, right? It's meant to be a lively space. We have art activities that anybody, say kids, but anybody could pick up a scavenger hunt to find like specific details in the murals. So we often see people kind of looking around, looking at the ceiling. So they could sort of be listening and looking and talking all at the same time.
How did the two of you get together for this collaboration?
Donna Goyack. I have to blame the CEO of Chatham Baroque, because she came to my formal debut recital over across the street at Rodef Shalom last December. And she recommended us to you at Vanka Murals because we know they know you wanted to have some classical there.
And you've met our Anna Singer, have you not? She's performed at some of your fundraisers.
Yeah, and she's also come as a participant to some of our one of our sketching workshops we did in Polish Hill last fall. She was one of the participants.
Terrific.
Sketching,
now, how did you connect with the murals?
Oh, that's a long story. I thought you were going to ask me how did I meet Rick, because I met you through the Millville Music Fest.
I got to have both, please.
All right.
I came to the mural. So when I came back to Pittsburgh about 15 years ago at this point, I was working at the Carnegie Museum of Art as the school programs director. And I had been freelancing as a museum educator in Pittsburgh when I started just before the pandemic. I was doing some consulting work for the Vanka murals. And during that process, they needed to hire someone part-time to be education, right? There's only three of us that work for the Moxo Vanka murals. We depend a lot on volunteers and our crew of people and advisors. And so I became director of education now 3 years ago and sort of have taken off with the block party, with school programs, teacher programs.
And
sort of expanding our...
Your phone rang and Rick was on the other end, or how did you get together?
So this is actually a great transition, because part of the reason we got to meet with some of the organizers of the Millville Music Festival wanted to have the church where the murals are as one of their locations. And it made sense to have, we called it slow music, right? Something because of the acoustics. That was sort of how we were introduced to Rick, was to say, hey, we want to have a location for classical music in Millville, this church we've been wanting to use as a site. We'd already been talking behind the scenes in other ways, so it felt like a perfect fit. And then Rick offered to play at the block party as kind of a transition, too, to connect our event with the Millville Music Festival and what Cut Time's trying to do.
Millville Music Festival, the first one with a lot of classical music in it. We think of Millville for Mr. Smalls and rock and roll bands, but not so much for classical music.
Yeah, I guess not. I wasn't able to... I didn't know about it last year, or else I would have gone. And normally, you know, that's a rock and roll type of thing all over the place. But the fact that Vanka Murals wanted classical music was... I could understand why. Once I walked in the place, once I did the tour, you know, it just seems like classical painting needs classical music. to enhance it. So glad to be there.
Let's run down the festival. You've got a long list of events that are happening on the 17th of May and the 18th. It's a Friday and a Saturday.
That's right. And we're going to start off with the brand new Millvale Festival Orchestra, led by Millvale student conductor, composer Jordan Speranzo, conducting. And there'll be a number of works by Croatian, Polish, and some Samuel Barber, and featuring Nancy Galbraith, herself a Millvale composer, and she's celebrated. I'm sure many people know her name. And then the Bayo String Quartet is going to play Shostakovich's Eighth String Quartet, which many people know, but in the context of the Vanka murals, I think it's going to be especially poignant, as well as some Philip Glass, his third quartet, and some selections of Bach, Art of the Fugue. Then the next morning, we're going to have a family event with the PSO Octet. Now, that's the Soldier's Tale Ensemble run by bassist John Moore, and that was my first ensemble, too, that I had in DSO. I added flute to do Peter and the Wolf and a number of things, but we're going to do a few short things like Fur Elise and Claude Bowling Flute Suite, just the first movement, and they're going to play some dances from the Soldier's Tale as well. And then Nat 28 is a contemporary music ensemble. They're going to bring a Pittsburgh composer there to play his The Wild and the Wild, which they have recorded that very week. And then we're hoping to have Resonance Works also do a work by Nancy Galbraith and a number of other pieces. We're still waiting on that program. They're very busy, as you know, preparing for a big performance next couple of weeks. So it's going to be a busy time. Can't wait to get through it.
Where will the classical stage at St. Nicholas Church be? Are you in the church or out front of the church?
Yeah, we're in the church right there on the altar.
Mm-hmm. No Mass on Sunday? Oh, it's Saturday. It's Saturday, not Sunday.
Friday and Saturday.
No Mass on Saturday, I guess.
Yeah.
Very good. Wow, it's a lot.
It is a lot, and we need help to get through it all, but so does the Vanka murals.
Yeah, and through all of that, we're going to have sort of in-between sets to talk a little bit about the murals, but it's a great opportunity for people to see the murals while they're also really there for a concert. We're also going to have activities at the Millvale Music Festival, both at the church. We'll have some of those scavenger hunts and making unique buttons. You can press your own buttons. And we'll also have a table down in the music festival down on the main street in order to sort of encourage people to come up the hill and find out more.
And is the Rock and Roll Festival going on at the same time?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So lots of things that you could experience. We'll have to look at the lineup for that. And, of course, there's a lot of great food in Millvale, too, not to mention Jean-Marc Chatelier's French Bakery, and there's a great chocolate shop. And do you have a favorite in Millvale?
You know what? The Millvale Market, which is run in part by Jennifer Safran, who runs Sprezzatura, the Italian place over there. She opened the Millvale Market, which carries food from a lot of different places, and it's just like a great spot to grab coffee and get some vegetables for dinner and maybe a sandwich for lunch.
And the Grant Bar has been featured in Rick Seebeck's documentary about Western Pennsylvania, one of the many. So there are lots of possibilities. I'm a vinyl junkie, so I like to go to the attic and look at the vinyl that they have there, which is ever expanding. So Millvale's a happening place.
It is.
There's a lot to do. It's really lovely. What else should we say about the festival so that people get the full sense of it? You have taken on a huge fundraising effort here, Mr. Cut Time, Robinson.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's not so huge. The PSO is paying for their musicians as part of their service exchange program, so that's taken care of, and I'm helping with pay the BO String Quartet. We really need to raise money for the Festival Orchestra, which is going to be mostly CMU students and a couple of freelancers settling in because it's graduation weekend, unfortunately. Mm. But I'm happy to do it. And two ensembles are coming self-funded, but we hope to have enough to be able to share any overage with them.
Got to speak a little bit more about Maxo Vanka and his amazing work, because there's always someone who finds the story for the first time. Maxo Vanka arrived here. Why? What brought him to Pittsburgh? Who asked him to do these paintings?
I'll try to give you the short version of this story. Maxo Vanka was born in what is now Croatia. But in the early 1930s, he found his wife, his future wife, a woman named Margaret Stenton, who was a Jewish American woman. And of course, in the early 1930s, not a safe place to be in their part of Europe. And so they had moved and immigrated to the United States. Meanwhile, the St. Nicholas Church in Millvale had had a fire in the 1920s. And so it had lost all of the original art. And so as they rebuilt their church, the priest at the time was looking for an artist who could sort of paint to the congregation about the immigrant experience, right, coming from Croatia to the United States, and about sort of the difficulties and challenges and the struggles of those people that were there. And at one point in 1935, Max Ivanka meets Father Žagar. They apparently got along brilliantly and sort of the same mind. And so Vanka was invited in 1937 and 1941, in two very intense periods. He painted very quickly. He painted the entire church. And so you get some of the traditional religious imagery, but you also get these very secular scenes of the grief of mothers losing a son in war, or the grief of mothers losing their sons to an American industry. You get some criticism of capitalism and sort of the reinforcement of the love and community around coming together in that space. So it's a really, people walk in and don't realize that they're going to see so many murals and so many stories. And there's the figure that I think people most often recognize is the injustice figure, the gas-masked hooded figure who's holding a sword and scales where money outweighs bread, right? That's not a typical image you would see, but there's so much meaning in that.
So did he complete them to his satisfaction? The murals were done.
Yeah, well,
his vision.
He completed these murals, and he called them his gift to America, which we love to talk about, because he thought of the murals as an immigrant, as a Croatian. They were something that he was able to bring to his new country. And I think that's a very relevant story of the things that people bring to this country.
Was he able to return over the years?
He came back in 1951, and he painted the front of the organ loft, which is actually filled with flowers and birds, and was sort of a much more peaceful time in the world. He lived in Bucks County after he painted these murals and after they left New York City. The family, actually, his granddaughter still lives in their Bucks County house, which is cool because the family has gifted the society, our nonprofit, a lot of the sketches that Vanka made when he came to Pittsburgh in 1935, and all of his preparatory sketches that he made while he was designing and figuring out what he wanted to put on the mural walls.
So the festival is a great time. The block party or the festival is a great time to go take a look at the murals. But this summer, when you have out-of-town guests visiting, how do you schedule a time when a docent will give you a tour?
That's a great question. So on Saturdays at 11 and 12:30, every Saturday, unless there's something else going on in the church, we have hour-long tours with our tour volunteers. We also added Monday nights, so 6:30 p.m. on Mondays. We also have a tour time. If you have a bigger group and you'd like to schedule a private tour, we can arrange that. But if you go to the website, which is thevankamurals.org, it's pretty easy to find. And you can book a tour or request a time that works for you and your group to book a tour.
And why do you have to fundraise all the time?
So conserving the murals in particularly is super expensive. Vanka painted the murals very fast, but to clean them is painstakingly slow. The murals are water sensitive. They're a water-based paint. And so cleaning them takes just an amazing amount of patience and science to clean them. So our conservation team, that's a huge part of the fundraising.
And over time, I think it's become more broadly known that this is a real treasure for Pittsburgh and Western Pennsylvania, and the support has grown considerably.
Absolutely. I think we've gone from people calling us the hidden treasure to sort of being on people's bucket lists of like, oh, I've heard of that. I need to go over there. And so we're hoping that things like the Block Party or the Millvale Music Festival will be reasons for people to get out and kind of check that off and then realize that they need to come back for a tour or to come back for another program.
And Rick Robinson, you told Anna Singer some of your amazing story coming here from Detroit, having played in the Detroit Symphony. But the reason you came to Pittsburgh was?
Beer. breweries. And everyone is so friendly. I mean, they'll let you make a left turn in front of them. They'll, you know, they'll try not to hit you as you're crossing the street. Everyone has just been so welcoming and warm to me. I can't believe it. It just felt like home. And it's still the Midwest, and it's part East Coast. So, you know, it's just so much culture and great architecture here. I just love it.
And your memory of playing in the Detroit Symphony, which sticks in your mind, that was great fun and a great moment. What music director did you work with the most?
Mostly Neeme Järvi. Yeah. And so with, don't tell Leonard, but he was
right.
My favorite.
with Neeme Järvi, do you remember a particular event, concert happening?
Well, there were so many, particularly since we do the same program, but he'd take it slightly differently every concert. So he kept us on our toes. He made it spontaneous. You know, it was just so much the joy and the pathos, you know, were transmitted through his face and his baton. I can't say enough about Neeme Järvi.
And how are they doing in Detroit on the diversity front? When you look at the Detroit Symphony, do you see any African-American faces in this orchestra today?
Yeah, well, they have three black members right now. I mean, I was the fourth, I guess, until I left. And they hire black subs quite a bit. So it's probably the most integrated orchestra in the country, major orchestra.
And are you feeling good about the situation generally? The needle never seems to move very far, although there's a lot more attention being paid to getting our orchestras in a more colorful world.
Yeah, well, I think it is what it is. There's been huge moves by the Sphinx organization, for example, to broaden audiences and teach not only African-American students, but also Latinos. They've broadened out to Latinos, and the Latino numbers are going up. But there's just not a lot of us, you know, jumping in to play really, really, really difficult music. But once we do, we find we can do other things with it as well. So it's not a loss.
And it's just going to take time. This is an education thing, wouldn't you say, more or less? Over time, things will get better, but we need to work in the schools in a different way.
It's true, yeah. Well, don't get me started on schools, but I reasoned when I was a kid that if it took 100 years, you know, from the freedom of slaves to finally win our civil rights, it's going to take another 100 years for things to be more and more even.
Well, let's hope it keeps going in the right direction. And you are on the front lines still. You've moved the effort from Detroit to Pittsburgh. But thanks for doing what you're doing
thanks
with the
Cut
Time Symphonica. It's fantastic. Before you leave, we should dive a little bit more deeply into your set list for the block party.
Sure.
You're
going to
play an original piece there, Phantom Detroit. What is that?
Okay. Well, that was a work I did with some street poets in partnership with a Kresge grant at that time to write a piece, you know, very particular about Detroit. So we were worrying about gentrification at the time. So there's a whole, you know, lost generations in Detroit who just can't fit into the new economy. So we want to voice those opinions. But the middle movement of this work, Phantom Detroit, was a really cool blues. It was going to feature Maureen and Steven in big solos. And I think, you know, it will, again, enhance some of the profound messages within the murals.
Adolphus Hailstork, Symphony Number 1. This is a masterpiece. People don't know it.
That's true, yeah. And this is a very poignant movement that reminds me of African-Americans waving back to Africa, to our ancestors. So it fits in with the immigration theme.
And Duke Ellington. You can't wrong with Duke.
Yeah, that's Cut Time's number one piece. Everyone's favorite. Everyone loves this gospel number from the ballet Three Black Kings called Martin Luther King.
And we have Mighty Love, another original from you.
That's it. Well, it's just a short, lovely, very, very romantic movement. It's from one of my first compositions.
So if I look at your iPod, I'll see Aerosmith.
Yeah, probably will. So we'll throw in a couple of, you know, pop numbers there, too, as we do in our club series.
Along with Mozart and Bach and Sibelius, this is a great set list. You've got for the Maxo Vanka Block Party, April 28th from noon until 4. Have we mentioned all of the sizzle that's happening here? You got a lot happening.
We have a lot happening. It's true. And I would encourage people to pre-register for the Block Party. It is free. You can come anytime between 12 and 4. Hope you come at 2 for sure to see Cut Time. But if you pre-register, It helps us know how many numbers are coming. You can also request a parking spot. Accessible parking is, there's limited parking, but we do have a shuttle running around Millville during the block party. So if you need to park off-site. We also have some raffle baskets with some great stuff from local Millville businesses. Yeah, there's also going to be free food and drink. There will be some beer. Yes. Vincini's Distributing. They always like to help us out and bring whatever beer that they want to bring and some ciders and some non-alcoholic beverages as well. But we'll have raffle baskets, too, that have some of the local businesses putting those donations together. So if you pre-register, you get one ticket to throw into those baskets. If you want to buy more, you can buy more tickets, too. But otherwise, everything, you can come hungry. There's going to be food. Sprezzatura, I mentioned before, is giving us food, and they're also going to be selling some extra food. We've got Rolling Pepperoni's going to have some of their little pepperoni roll bites, a little bit of a West Virginia throwback. and then the Abeille Voyant Tea is bringing tea for us, the local Millville shop. And Lemon Tree, they're bringing coffee and some lemonade. They're another Millville business that are bringing things for us, so...
So great. Yeah. Lots of good things. You get to meet Becky Gogler,
you get to meet
former WQED-FM musical kid, now in charge of everything going on with the efforts to increase awareness with the Max Ovanka Society, the director of education there. And Rick Robinson, I'll get a chance to shake your hand, the guy who founded Cut Time Symphonica. Yes? You'll be greeting everybody after
you've played? I'll be all over the place before and after.
Wonderful. Anything else you'd like to share before we close?
Well, just probably to stress that this is not a sit-and-listen concert necessarily, but, you know, we play background. That's kind of one of the cut-time differences, that we're willing to play background to make classical music part of the soundtrack of everyone's life. So, as well as work that casual side of the coin of classical music.
And it's possible to stand just a few feet away from the musicians and look up and see Max Ovanka's masterpieces. My goodness, what a wonderful series of events, the Block Party and the festival in Millville. Becky Gogler, Rick Robinson, thanks so much for coming by.
Yeah, thank you for having us.
Thanks.